Thank you for purchasing this message. If you would like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website.
Hey, everybody, how we doing? So glad you're here today. So glad you're here. Well, we're closing up this series on parental elephants this weekend, and we're going to be talking about what really ties it all together. What is the bow around this entire series that we're talking about? And I want to start this with a question, a probing question that I don't want you to answer too quickly. Here it is. You ready? How much do you love him? Don't answer too quickly. How much do you love him? See, in this series, we've talked about a lot of different elephants, these obvious damaging truths that we choose to ignore. But is this being the last installment of this series? If you get discipline down, and we do discipline well, but our kids don't have a passion for Jesus, we failed them. If we get boundaries down, but our kids don't have a passion for Jesus, we failed them. If we get the broken chair that I spoke on a few weeks ago, or dealing with the pain, if we deal with all of the issues inside of us, if we face all those things, we say, you know, we want to parent from a healthy position, but we don't pass to our kids a passionate love for Jesus, we failed them. Doesn't mean you're a failure. We failed them. If we get, you know, last week and I talked about, you know, or a couple weeks ago about the dangers and protecting them and watching out for the red flags. If we get all that right and we raise kids who are very successful, we raise kids who are model citizens, and we raise kids who have a great business mind, and we raise kids that are great parents, and we raise kids who have good marriages, but they don't have a passionate love for God, we failed them. See, the whole goal of parenting is this: when they don't have to, they want to. When they don't have to, they want to. See, this torch is my love for God. It's a picture of my love for God. That's, you know, this torch, you know, it's just a picture of it. I mean, it's either lit or it's not. It's either out or it's on. And when it comes to my love and your love for God, our responsibility as parents is to pass to them in their life a lit torch. Now, you can't light it for them, but you can show them what a lit torch looks like compared to a torch that's not lit. And you can show them how to light the torch. And you can show them the benefits of a torch that's lit. But here's what we do. Now, I'm not saying it's everybody, but here's what we do. We want something else to light the torch. We leave the lighting of the torch to chance. That we're good parents, We provide for them. We keep them in a good, healthy environment. Then by chance, they're going to have a burning, lit up, rabid passion for God. I see that all the time. We approach the most insignificant things with great intention, but the most important things we leave to chance. We're more intentional about the CDs we invest in than we are the passionate love affair with our God. Listen, I'm not shaming you. I'm with you, okay? I wouldn't shame you for anything. It's just truth. Now, not only do we leave it to chance, but we love to give this and leave it in the responsibilities of church leadership. That's Brad's responsibility. Your kids are in big trouble if it's my responsibility. I got my hand full with three. Much less 1,000 kids. Well, I'm going to leave it in the hands of Josh, our Apex pastor. Or I'm going to leave it in the hands of Bill, our middle school pastor. Or I'm a Revelation 58 pastor. I'm going to leave it in the hands of my life group leader. I'm going to leave it in the hands of this person. I'm going to leave it in the hands of Brian up here, our worship pastor. I'm going to leave it in the hands of Bruce. I'm going to leave it in the hands of other people. And those people, if I just get them around those people are going to light their torch for God. Now, does that happen? Very rarely. Because no one can light their torch. No one can show them how to light their torch. Let me rephrase that. No one can show them how to light their torch. No one can show them what a life with a lit torch looks like better than you can as their parents. Not only do we leave it to chance, we leave it to church leadership, we leave it to little bits of God. Man, when I was studying this and getting ready, this truth was like, I mean, just like unbelievable. Think about this. When you go get your flu shot, what's that shot consist of? It's got a little bit of the strand of the flu bug, right or wrong. And what happens is you get a little strand of that flu bug in your system, and your body builds up antibodies to it, and your body builds up a resistance to it, and your body becomes immune to the flu. Same is true with polio and measles and all of that. Your body builds up an immunity. Well, here's what happens, parents. Listen. We give our kids a little bit of God. We give them a little bit of commitment. We give them a little bit of devotion. We give them a little bit of our passion for God. We give them a little bit, and here's what happens. I mean, I've been in church my whole life, okay? Forget it. I've been in church my whole life. Maybe that's an omen, okay? I've been in church my whole life. I have seen tens of thousands of people come in and go in my life. And most people, even the best of people, think if they give their kids a little bit of God, that in the end, little bits become a lot. And it doesn't work that way. Here's what happens. You give your kids a little bit of God. You give them just enough to become dangerous. You give them a little bit of truth. You give them enough to become immune to the greatness of God. You give them a little bit of God. A little bit. A little bit of devotion. A little bit. I've got my foot maybe in a little bit. A little bit of sacrifice, a little bit. I give my kids just a little bit. and I give them a strand of devotion that's just minimal, and what it does is it creates a life that's immune to the greatness of God. Listen, let me tell you something. Listen. That's the majority of the best of people that follow Jesus. I'm not the majority of people that reject Jesus. No. I don't know. The majority of people. The majority of people that claim to be followers of Jesus give their kids a little bit of God. Listen, I've been around it. I've grown up around it. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Except in the 1% circumstances, the 99%, if the parents' passion for God is here, the kids, at best, will be here. It's the way it is. Now, there are rarities. I've seen exceptions. I've seen it where the parents were at, both of them had nothing to do with God, completely rejected God, completely lived life devoid of God in their life. And their kids turned out to be raging, passionate people of God. Listen, that's the 1%. It does happen. It's a 1%. The odds are not in your favor in that. If I'm here, my kids will be here. And here's what we're going to talk about tonight. I mean, this weekend. So we're going to talk about how you and I get our torch lit. And we're going to talk about not only how to get our torch lit, but how to help our kids light their torch. Because if we don't, our kids go through life in darkness. Now listen, we can say whatever we want to say, but they've walked through life with their parents holding an unlit torch. They know what it's like to be cold and there's nothing to warm them up. They know what it's like to try to cook with ice cubes. We can say what we want to say, but our kids know the truth. And they will only want what you create an appetite in them for. If you create an appetite for money, they'll go after money. You create an appetite for possessions, they'll go after that. You create an appetite for sports, and sports is the deal in your life, your kids will crave that. And if you have an appetite, a passion for your God that made you, it's not a guarantee, but the odds are through the roof that your kids will follow in your footsteps. So what happens if my kid doesn't have a passion for God? They can still be a good citizen, oh yeah. But let me show you the reality of that. Judges chapter number 2. Let me give you the context of this story. The children of Israel, Moses had died. Joshua followed Moses as the leader of Israel. For many years, Joshua led them. Joshua led them into the land that God had promised them. God met their needs. I mean, unbelievable story of God's provision. But God gave these parents in the nation of Israel specific instructions. He said, when you go into this land, you're going to go into a land that's full of people that don't worship me. I'm not God in their life. They worship water. They worship the sun. They worship Baal. They worship all these different things. I'm going to lead you into this land, but you're going to face this when you go in there. Do not adopt the gods of these people. I am your God. And it is vitally important that when you go into this land, that you teach them my ways. And before we read the story in Judges, I want us to go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Here's what God told him. Look, listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Verse 10. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God told them that. They go into the land and everything looks good. They go into the land and they start disobeying God and adopting and embracing things that God told them not to embrace. And man, they partied like rock stars. And I mean, they thought, you know what, God, you know, this is, I mean, God's not, I mean, the lightning's not flashed from the sky and things aren't changing. This is pretty good. It's life's okay. And what happened was they were living life as a nation with a torch that wasn't lit. Now, let's find the repercussions of that. Many, many, many years later, Judges chapter 2. Judges 2, verse number 10. It's a sobering, sobering, sobering verse. After that generation died, that was the generation that went into the land. Another generation grew up, this is their kids, who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. See, the elephant in the room today is that we're passing off. We're expecting someone else to light the torch. Someone else to show our kids how to have a lit up, passionate love for God. And if we don't change our thinking in that, there's a 99% chance they won't have it. That's the elephant in the room. That's why I said last weekend and this weekend are the two most important. I dealt with affection and attention and affirmation last weekend. And then to wrap it all together, a passion for God. Because if they get everything else and they don't get that, look what happens. Oh, my soul, look at this. Verse number 11. The Israelites did evil. These are the kids. These were their kids. Did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods. That's a key phrase right there. Notice those are little, that's lowercase g, not a big case g. That means it's not the real God. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. Underline that. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned. And the people were in great, what's that word? Distress. Here's the repercussions of casually dealing with this elephant. Is the blessing of the blessed life of our kids is robbed from them. We lead our kids into a life that's empty. We lead our kids into a life that doesn't fulfill them. We lead them into a life, into a way of living that instead of partnering with God and living in the flow of God's plan for their life, we lead them into a life where they're butting heads with God for their life. And when you butt heads with God, life doesn't work. Relationships don't work. You don't find purpose in life. You don't find fulfillment in life butting heads with God. You say, Brad, why is that? I'm a good person. I believe that. Here's why. It's the same as true for me as it is for you. You were made for God. God created you. And He made you for Him. He didn't make you for you. You are made for the purpose of worshiping God, loving God, bringing happiness, the word for that is glory, bringing glory and happiness to God with your life. That's why you're made. You're not made to just live, feed, breed, and die. You're made for God. That's the foundation of all excitement, all happiness, all fulfillment that really lasts, is life is not about you, it's about God. And as long as you think my life is about me and what I want and what I want to have and what I want to accomplish and what I want to own, as long as I see life that way, I'm butting heads with God. And see, when we live unlit, we're modeling that life. And just like, listen, you wouldn't lead your kids into a snake pit knowingly because of danger. When we take the relationship with God casually, we're leading our kids into a life. I know it's their choice, but they follow examples. We all learn from examples. We're leading them into a life where they're going to butt heads with God. And I believe deep down in your heart, I believe this with all, I believe as a parent, deep down in your heart, if you could remove all of the stuff around it, all of the distractions, you really want your kids to partner with God. You want your kids, I do, you want your kids to know what it means, to know what it's like to live in the supernatural blessings of God upon their life. I believe that. I believe you love them. I believe you're crazy about them. I believe you want that for their life. But it doesn't happen by chance. Here's several questions I want you to ask yourself. It's kind of under the big question of how much do you love Him? Do you have a passionate love for God? Do you have that? I don't mean do you come to church. That's good. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you have a rabid, red-hot, lit-up passion for God? Do you have it? Number two, do you have a passionate love for His church? See, if you love God, you'll love what He loves. See, God loves the church because the church is people. The Bible says that He loves the church and He gave His life for the church. That's why what happens here at Life Point Church and other churches is not a game. That's why I take it so seriously. Now, we have fun. Anybody that's been here more than once knows we have fun. We laugh. We have a good time. We rock out. It's a great place to be. But we take it serious. Because there's nothing happening in this city at this moment that's more important than what's happening in this room. There's not a ball game. There's not a deal. There's nothing more important than what's happening in this room right here, right now. That's it. Not because I'm the pastor of it. Listen, there's been more years of my life that I wasn't a pastor and I was sitting where you're sitting than as a pastor. And I believed it there like I believe it here. It's the most important thing. God gave his life for it. Here's the question you got to ask, okay? Let me break it down for you. Are you leasing or loving his church? See, if we're not careful, we lease it. What's a lease? You pay for a certain time, and then when you kind of get ready for a trade-in, you go and you trade up for something else. Here's what I've watched happen over the years. The larger LifePoint grows, the more people that lease. Now, I'm not saying to be ugly. I love you. But it's just being honest. Here's what leasing looks like. We're consistently late all the time. I don't mean you had a rough morning, you're late. I'm talking about a consistent pattern in your life. Just late. We'll get there when we get there. We get here, not only late, but we just kind of, you know, we lounge and entertain me. Maybe I'll get something. Need something, but maybe I'll get something, write a few things down. And then here's another major sign of leasing. You leave before the offering. I wish you could stand up here with me. When I say, offering, you watch people, they're like, they're gone. Now listen, we're having fun. Listen. You're leasing. See, here's what happens if you don't correct that pattern in your life. LifePoint's going to wear out on you. It's going to wear out because your heart's not in it. And I'm going to tick you off eventually. I don't want to, but I will. I love you. I don't understand why somebody can't love me, but there are people that don't. Like I've said hundreds of times, I look myself in the mirror and I think, how can anyone be mad at this face? I love me. I think other people all love me. But it's not always true. I'm not going to make you happy all the time. I'm just not. I love you. My job's not to make you happy. It's to help make you more like Jesus. I'm not on the happy patrol. I'm on the Jesus patrol. Now listen, here's what happens if you don't correct that pattern in your life. It's going to wear out on you. And you'll get to a place and you'll say, you know, it's just not doing it for me, man. It's just, you know, it's time for a trade-in, a trade-up for something else. Now contrast that with loving. Here's what love is. I realize that I've been rescued with a role to play. I've been rescued with a role to play. Loving is I realize that my love, my first love, which is God, loves it, gave to it, sacrificed for it, and died for it. And because my first love loved it at that level, I want to love it at that level. You with me? He's saying, God, hold that. See, you got to ask, do I have a passionate love for God? Do I have a passionate love for his church, leasing or loving? Number three, do I have friendships with people that are passionately in love with him? Not that all my friendships should be that way, but do I have that? Do I hang with people that are negative about the things of God? Do I do that? Now, I'm going to take a couple of minutes. I want to share with you how you light the torch. Here's how you light it. You ready? You intentionally pursue. Not casually pursue. You intentionally pursue a love affair with God. Come on, baby, light up. Well, there we go. You notice it takes time. Okay. We've already talked to the fire marshal. Everything's okay. Now, here's how I pursue a passionate love for God. I pursue what God loves the most. The hearts of people. God loves the hearts of people more than trees. God loves the hearts of people more than cars. God loves the hearts of people more than the Dow. So do you, okay? God loves the hearts of people. And it starts with my heart. Here it is. You ready? Here's what it is as parents. Three things. We give in. God, I'm giving in my life to you. I'm giving in. I'm caving in. I want to run to you. I want to be with you. I want you to be the leader of my life. I want you to be the light in the darkness. I want you to be the warmth in the cold. I want you to cook my food. I want you. I want you. I run to you when I'm in trouble. I run to you when I'm happy. I run to you when I'm breathing. I run to you in every facet of my life. I give in and run to you. I give in. Number two, I give up. It's a life of surrender. I give up my rights. I give up the thought that I'm here for me. I give in. I give up. Give up my rights. Then number three, I give out. Give out. You know, more than I want to see LifePoint grow numerically, and I do, and I love seeing that happen. What I want us to be known for more than anything is to be the most giving church in this city. Giving. We may not have the greatest of all things. We may not have all the bells and whistles. We may not have, but listen, we can be the most giving people in this city. Wouldn't be that. You know, I get asked, because a lot of you know my dad's a pastor or was a pastor. He's soon going to be one of the pastors here. They're moving. They'll be here in a few weeks. Mom and Dad will be. And I get asked, he's going to work on our team with me and be working in, with Tim. And that's not good. Okay, here we go.
Here, Brad, just give it to me.
There we go. Paul, you go light yourself up. You need it. There we go. All right. You never know how props are going to work. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it happens. All right, let's give Paul a hand, right? She's a parent carrying the torch. Now, here we go. Don't watch that. Here we go. Watch. Here we go. Up here. All right. I get asked, Brad, you know, your dad was a pastor. We always hear horror stories of what happens to kids whose parents were pastors in church. And what did your parents do that created a passion in you for God? Thought about that big time. Here's what I would say. Now, my mom and dad were not perfect. They made mistakes. I'd be the first to tell you that. But here's what my parents did, and you'll see this in the character of their life when they come here. And they'd be mortified to know that I just said this, but you'll see it in the character of their life. They're givers. My dad and mom live by the philosophy they find a need and meet it. And they don't do it for recognition. They don't do it for somebody to go, oh. They do it. All of my life, I watched my parents give to people. I've watched them buy cars for people. I've watched them buy homes for people. Not because they were wealthy. They weren't. They sacrificed it without. We didn't have the best sound systems. We didn't have the best of cars. They saved money, and they bought it for their parents. They bought the people. I watched them do that. I've watched them support missionaries. I've watched them help people have surgeries they couldn't pay for. I've watched my mom and dad over and over and over. And they didn't say, Brad, watch us. It was the fabric of their life. And you know what? There's something addicting about that. There's something real about that. There's something that's just incredible. Give in. Give up and give out. Say that with me. Ready? Give in, give up, and give out. Now listen, just like you saw Paula moving quickly out this door, out this room. When you and I live that way, our kids see that we have a legit, real, with integrity, passion for God. And they'll want it. Maybe not when they're 14. Because they don't know what they want when they're 14. But they'll want it. Because they'll find that walking through life with a torch that's lit in a world that's dark sure beats the snot out of walking in the darkness without any light. Can I get an amen on that? Let's pray together. You say, Brad, I want to make that first step to give in. I want to give in tonight. If it's your first time, the first step in that is to invite Jesus Christ into your life. You only need to do that one time. But you make that decision to invite Jesus Christ into your life. You invite him in. You realize that Jesus died for you, that he rose from the dead for you, that you can't earn that relationship, and you invite him in your life. If you're ready to take that step tonight, and I want you to pray with me right where you are. Just say, Dear Jesus, please come live in me. I'm giving in. I want you to be the leader of my life and teach me how to live. Dear Jesus, please come live in me. I want you to be the leader of my life and teach me how to live.
Thank you for purchasing this message. If you would like more information about Fellowship Church's resources or an Ed Young teaching series, just log on to our website.